This I believe. John Walker is the chief curator of the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. Even as a child, he planned to be a curator of art, and he says it has proved to be a pleasant career. Born in Pittsburgh, he was graduated from Harvard University and then studied in Florence, Italy. His professional career began as the head of the Fine Arts Department of the American Academy in Rome. He joined the National Gallery in 1939. Here now is John Walker.
A sense of time has, to a great extent, determined what I believe. In my early 20s, an acute awareness of its passage brought me to the church. I was living then near Florence in a small farmhouse placed in the center of an olive grove. In the spring, the house was covered with wisteria. In the autumn, the surrounding arbors were heavy with grapes. In the winter, on one occasion, it snowed. For several days, the snow lay on the ground, a rare event in Tuscany. I remember walking through it and looking at the olive trees, jade green against the white. In the distance, I could see Brunelleschi's dome silhouetted each afternoon by the setting sun. When I returned from my walks, I would sit before a blazing fire and I would feel a rapture of indescribable happiness. But my happiness was always clouded by a realization that these moods of delight were as fleeting as the snowflakes outside. I was studying the history of art. My guide and dearest friend was a great scholar, as wise and many-sided as Goethe. Though he had a speculative, even a devotional interest in religion, his central belief was that man was an earth bubble, a marvelous phenomenon capable of exquisite feelings, of great creative genius, but of no further significance. The ecstasy I felt on those snowy days was, according to his belief, the goal of experience, the purpose of existence. One day we were in Venice together. We wanted to visit an obscure church which contained one noble painting, an altarpiece rarely seen. In the maze of canals, the gondolier lost his way. My friend, who had the reputation of having been in his youth somewhat irascible, had become with age wonderfully detached and serene. But to my surprise, on this occasion, he lost his temper. I was at first shocked, and it was only later that I realized how a stupid blunder had robbed him of his most precious possession, a few of the hours left for his ecstatic contemplation of beauty. But time, I felt, should not have this exorbitant value. It should not be so precious that, as my friend was to write, he would gladly stand at street corners, hat in hand, begging passers-by to drop their unused minutes into it. His life had been as perfect, as filled with happiness, as I could imagine possible. And yet he remained a beggar, a mendicant in search of an unprocurable commodity. The desirability of his life made its evanescence the more bitter. A recent sentence of Thomas Merton's comes to mind. Do not lay up for yourself ecstasies upon earth, where time and space corrupt, where the minutes break in and steal. The ecstasies, however, of art or music or poetry, or such country raptures as I felt in the snowy olive groves, support religious faith, though they are not in any way a substitute for religion. As fugitive and insubstantial as the shimmer of light on water, they imply, like reflections in a pool, something more real and more permanent. They are evidences of a realm of being where time that takes away of all the world must have a stop. Without such a belief in a transcendent and timeless reality, it seems to me all delight in beauty is tarnished, and the rapture it can bring increases, rather than assuages, the poignancy of transience. Many people come to religion through sorrow. I believe one can be brought to it also through the time-flawed nature of human happiness.
That was John Walker, chief curator of the National Gallery of Art, whose creed seems as timeless as much of the art that surrounds him.